Well, Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be with us tonight. This service is on the eve of our embarking to Israel on Monday. And this will be the second gospel outreach in Israel that will be done under the hostility of war. As you know, we went back to Israel. We went to Israel in March earlier this year, and now we're headed back on Monday, October 28th, and Lord willing, we will be there until November 10th, sharing the gospel of Yeshua, telling his ethnic people that there is hope, there is salvation in the midst of an existential threat. And Israel will obviously come through this because they will never be destroyed. Israel's existence doesn't depend upon politicians, whether it's Trump or Reagan, or because God has guaranteed Israel's eternal existence. We're going to talk more of that in a minute. We're glad you could be with us. And Dr. Todd Baker, pastor of Shalom Shalom Congregation and president of Berit Chadasha Ministries here in Dallas, Texas. The word Berit Chadasha Ministry is the Hebrew word for new covenant, reminding us of what God prophesied in Jeremiah 31, that he would make a Berit Chadasha, or a new covenant. Berit Chadasha means new covenant in Hebrew, with Bet Israel, the house of Israel. That covenant is still being offered to the Jewish nation today, both corporately and individually. The church did not displace Israel or replace them as a new and spiritual Israel, as much of the mainline church has taught, whether it be Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic, Protestant, particularly in the Reform circles. Some Reform people, though, don't teach replacement theology, and that's good. But God has not replaced Israel. We will see that here in a few minutes. And the church is obligated to take the gospel to all the world, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And it starts with the Jewish people. And yet, sadly, for centuries now, the church has neglected taking the gospel to Israel. And oftentimes when they did take it, during the medieval supremacy of the papal church, they tried to do it by force, and that was a total and abject failure. Even the reformers, when they tried to reach the Jews and they were recalcitrant, sadly the reformers, some of them, wrote excoriating and slanderous things against the Jewish people. Folks, we are not responsible for a person's response to the gospel. Our responsibility is to share the gospel. We are not in the converting business. The Holy Spirit is the one that saves. The Holy Spirit is the one that regenerates, and he uses the word of God we speak to do that. Amen. And so we're glad you could be here tonight. As you know, we meet every Friday evening at 6 p.m. here at Northwest Bible Church. The church is located at 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas, zip 75231. And we meet every Friday Shabbat at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We also do a Bible teaching program every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time called Search the Scriptures. We didn't do a program this week because I've been preparing to go to Israel. If you're interested in learning more about what we do, we do have our quarterly newsletter, Search the Scriptures. This is our fall 2024 edition. And the lead article, of course, is a continuation of what transpired on our March 2024 gospel outreach we did. And accompanying me on that outreach was Robert Williams. And we talk about the people that we witnessed to, and we will do some follow-up. I know with Alex at our hotel in Tel Aviv, we shared, he had a copy of the Tehillim, the Psalms, on his desk in his office. He was the parking garage attendant. So I saw that, and picking up on that, I said, the Tehillim has many things to say about Mashiach. And I gave him some examples of messianic prophecy in there. The fact Messiah would be pierced in death, he would be betrayed by a close friend, and so forth. And he ended up receiving the scripture. So hopefully we can do some follow-up ministry with Alex when we go to Israel. More likely than not, we will be under the barrage of sirens, and we'll just have to see what happens. We're praying that we won't even hear one siren over there. But If we do, we're not going to scurry scared into some shelter. If we're out on the field, we'll finish what we're doing. We'll also be doing some teaching over there after we finish each day of evangelism, because YouTube yanked the Bible teachings August Rosado and I did. They yanked 9 of them. And when he told me that, I guess one of them was the teaching we did at Sodom and Gomorrah and what the Bible says about homosexuality. And he said, yeah, that was one of the ones YouTube yanked. And so, as you know, I got up here and rebuked them for it. Now, I'm not saying because I did this later on, they did restore that video for whatever reason back up on August's website. And as you know, YouTube has disabled my live video feed, so I can't do live videos on Facebook. Facebook has disabled my live video option, so I can't do live video like I do every Thursday and Friday with you, because they disabled that for a month. Ambiguously telling me that I violated rules of their community. Well, you know why? Because we preach the Word of God in here, and that naturally involves preaching the law to the sinner that he is condemned for his sins, whatever sin that is, whether it be homosexuality, lying, stealing, cheating, fornicating, whatever. They didn't like that. And also I spoke about the dangerous anti-Christian tyranny of the left. And we will be addressing during this message tonight what's at stake in this election. So they're not going to intimidate us. We will speak the truth. And remember what Paul told Timothy while Paul was in prison in a cold, dank, dark Roman jail. He told Timothy, the Word of God is not bound. And so Facebook cannot bind the Word of God or oppress and prevent it from going forth. So I will... I will put the link, YouTube link, on my Facebook page later on tonight after the service, probably around 9 or 10 when I get home. So, folks, we are headed back to Israel for the 56th Gospel Outreach. Needless to say, I ask for your prayers and provision. Our giving was down this month when it shouldn't be, and it's critical that we do have your support. As I've said before, this ministry does deserve, yes, I use that word, deserve full-time support, not because of me, but because of the nature of what this ministry does. Not many churches, not many ministries are taking Romans 1:16 seriously. That is, the gospel is to go to the Jew first. And the Jewish people are precious people. We have the love of God for them because God has revealed himself through the Jewish people, i.e. the Old and New Testaments. And the culmination of that divine revelation was when the Lord Jesus Christ came, the one who is called the King of the Jews at his birth, the one who died as the King of the Jews, with the Roman title is saying that above the cross, and the one who will return to Israel at the second coming as the King of the Jews. And the devil certainly knows his time is really short now. He thought that he could destroy Israel with the Holocaust, the final solution. And yet, in God's mysterious providence, he allowed that horror to happen. And it was a catalyst for the Jewish people to finally say with indomitable resolve, we need a homeland. So this doesn't happen again. And indeed, they went back to their ancient homeland in fulfillment of many end-time prophecies. The reestablishment of the nation of Israel in 1948 is, without dispute, the greatest fulfillment of Bible prophecy since the first coming of Jesus Christ. And yet you've got morons in the church that say, oh, that's just all coincidence. God's done with the Jews. And quite frankly, when they teach that as part of their body of theology, they are ensconcing theological anti-Semitism. I don't want to hear your excuses. Well, we still love the Jewish person, but God's done with Israel. Nope. Quit talking out of both sides of your mouth. That's like people who say, well, you know, I'm not anti-Semitic. I just don't agree with Zionism. That's another double talk from one who speaks with forked tongue. And Zionism is, I remember I witnessed to a Muslim coworker I had, and he was blasting Zionism. And I said, do you even know what Zionism is? Well, it's, He was stuttering. Let me tell you what Zionism is. It's recognizing God's, it's recognizing the Jews' biblical and covenantal right under the scriptures to have their own homeland, a promise God gave them which has never been abrogated. That's what Zionism is. And your own Quran says seven times the land belongs to the Jews. Well, he couldn't say anything. So anybody who tells you they love the Jewish people, they just have a problem with Zionism. They're liars, they're two-faced, they're duplicitous, and they're anti-Semitic. Let me just go ahead and say that. And we've got a lot of this going on in the evangelical church. You even got conservative commentators like Candace Owens saying, oh, well, you know, what the Jews are doing to the Palestinians is an atrocity. They're committing genocide. Well, she's clueless, and she's utilized blood libel against the Jews. And the deaths of the Palestinian civilians is not intentional, and it's not deliberate. It's inevitable because Hamas deliberately places their armories, their cache of weapons, their military headquarters, in and around underneath hospitals, schools, apartment complexes, and so forth. And they are warned at least 24 hours in advance. The Israeli army warns them, we are going to hit this area. Please vacate. So come in here saying that the Jewish, the state of Israel is genocidally targeting the Palestinians. Not true at all. It's absurd on the face of it. And almost didn't even dignify a response. Satan hates the Jews. I don't know how many times I need to tell you this. He hates the Jews because the Jews are God's instrument in the past to bring salvation to the world. The seed of the woman was Jewish. He crushed Satan at the cross, defeated him. Well, then why is Satan still roaming free? Well, the legal declaration of his defeat over using sin and death against mankind was declared and inaugurated at the cross. And then when the Lord Jesus comes back, it will be executed in reality when the devil will be bound 1,000 years while King Jesus reigns over the earth from the throne of David in Jerusalem. So says the scripture. So, folks, it's not too late to support this outreach right now. You can do that by going to toddbaker.org, or you can click on our donate link there located below the title of tonight's message. It will take you to our secure encrypted link, and you can make a donation to help this ministry out. This is not about getting fancy cars, wearing fancy watches, and if you sow your seed of faith, you'll become rich. Those are lies, they're blasphemies, and it's making greed into a god, and from such, turn away. Peter, Jude, they all warned how the church had been inundated with greedy false teachers. And we've even created an industry out of it in the evangelical industrial complex. It's called the prosperity gospel. And they actually have the audacity to say, Jesus died to make you financially rich. No, Jesus died to make you spiritually rich by giving you the forgiveness of sins, adopting you into his forever family, and seating you with him in a co-regent position to rule and reign with him when he returns. No money can, you can't put a monetary price tag on that. Those are invaluable riches. So again, we do need your help. And remember, as you give, Genesis 12:3 is put into your account where God says, I will bless those who bless you. And the greatest way you can bless a Jewish person is by sharing the gospel of Yeshua with him or her from their own Bible, not telling them how much you love and support them and then you go on your way. That's not blessing them with the greatest blessing. It's by sharing the gospel of their crucified and risen Messiah. And the good news is that I would say 98% of who we witness to in Israel are open, receptive to hearing about the good news of Yeshua, their Messiah, and receiving from our hands a Hebrew study Bible. We will be, when we do land in Israel, we will be, we get there at 10 a.m., we'll be driving immediately to Sar El Tours, who provides our Bibles, and we will be picking up those Bibles. And so pray that everything will go well, and traveling mercies that we'll have, everything will go smooth as silk, pardon the cliche, and that we can hit the ground running. Amen. Running. And So we praise God for this opportunity. And the fact we're coming over there when most of the airlines are not flying in there until March. August Rosado, who's going with me to Israel, has been there several times with me. He sent me a list of all the airlines that are not going over there. Al's one of the only few. So they're staying away. So it'll be a veritable ghost town over there when we go. Just like it was when we went in March and during the second Intifada in the early 2000s. No, all the tours got scared away, and it was a ghost town. But at the same time, the Israelis marveled and were shocked that we would go over there and not put our own safety first. But, you know, obedience to God is primary, and we don't recklessly endanger ourselves, but we're willing to hazard our lives for the gospel. And I think that deserves some support, at least. Surely our life is worth a $5 donation, right? So anyway, so if you'd like to get our newsletter, you can go to our website at searchthescripturesonline.org, sign up, and we will send it to you. If you want the mail, the snail mail version right here, just give us your name, your first and last name, and your mailing address. If you want the email version, just give us your first and last name and your email, and we will send it to you. So our fall 2024 edition is out. Amen. Well, one of the reasons the Messiah came to the Jewish people, and one of the reasons Jesus said in John 4:21, salvation is of the Jews, is because God has made covenants with the Jewish people. And the new covenant, the church, is grafted into the olive tree of Israel's covenantal blessings, namely, mostly the new covenant. Now, the Abrahamic covenant in the sense that we are adopted spiritual children of Abraham, although the spiritual children of Abraham do not replace the physical children of Abraham in toto. And remember what God said here in Jeremiah 31, verse 31. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a Brit Chadashah, a new covenant, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." Let me stop there. So the new covenant is not the old covenant. When God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, he brought them to Sinai to ratify the old covenant and give them the law of Moses, the Torah. That's not what the new covenant is. And yet, the unbelieving rabbinic community try to evade this obvious disparity between the old covenant and the new covenant made here in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 32. They'll try to say, "Oh, well, that's a renewal of the old covenant." No, it isn't. God says that this covenant, this new covenant, is entirely different than the old covenant. It's not a renewal of the old covenant. And God goes on to say, "My covenant, the old covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Then we move down. Here is the guarantee in Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36. Let me just say this. When Donald Trump says that, he did say that the electing him will guarantee the safety of Israel, otherwise they will be destroyed. That's not biblical. And you do need to vote for him, by the way. That's another knock Facebook will give me, because he does best represent a Judeo-Christian ethic, unlike the evil side of the left, represented by Athaliah, Jezebel, Kamala Harris. So it says here, "Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, before me, says the Lord, then." So, in other words, a complete dissolving and destruction of the universe itself would have to occur first before what? Before God allows the seed of Israel to cease from being a nation before me forever. So replacement theology falls on its face in light of this promise. And God is not talking about here a spiritual Israel later on when the church is created. He's talking to ethnic Israel in Jeremiah 31. Don't take that out of context, you who were so eager to replace the Jews. And Paul, knowing this, goes on to say in the New Testament, because what they'll do is they'll say, well, that's the old covenant. God's done with the Jews. They disbelieved in the Messiah, and their leadership handed them over to be crucified by the Romans. So that's it. God's done with Israel. So they'll say, well, yeah, he said that to them under the old covenant, but he's done with them. Oh, really? Well, guess what it says in the New Covenant scriptures? Romans 11:1. I say then, Paul speaking, has God cast away his people whom he foreknew? God forbid. In the Greek, you've heard me say this before in here, in the Greek, that phrase is me genoita. It's a double negative. That's why some translations say no, never. So he answers the question. God has not cast away his people. He has not replaced Israel with the church. And then we go on. I saw one guy post one time, is Israel still God's people? And all of them were saying, nope, they sealed their fate when they rejected the Messiah. They can't be elect anymore. Only the saved people are elect. And that's wrong, and it's not biblical. God does elect unsaved people to do his bidding. And in this case, even though Israel's in unbelief, they're still elect by God. You want the proof? Well, let's read it here. Verse 28 of Romans 11, Paul speaking again, concerning the gospel, they, that's the Jewish nation, Israel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. What an amazing statement here. Paul is saying that Israel is still God's eternal choice and therefore his people, and they will always be so, due to the covenants that he made with their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you look at those covenants and you see that God gave the land to Abraham and his descendants forever as an everlasting covenant. Genesis 17:7-8. So all of this precludes, negates, and denounces the insidious anti-Semitic theology of replacement theology. And let's be honest, the church down through the centuries has committed horrible, atrocious acts. So by your reasoning, shouldn't God then replace the church? If God replaced Israel for all their abominations they committed, read the prophets in the Old Testament on that, wouldn't he do the same with the church then? The church is no better than ancient Israel. You got most of the mainline denominations now celebrating deviant sexual lifestyles and putting practitioners of iniquity into leadership roles in their liberal apostate churches. And space does not allow me to tell you of the Inquisition and the Crusades, etc. But no, God has not replaced Israel, even though they are in unbelief. And Paul deals with this in great detail in Romans chapters 9 through 11. In Romans 9, he addresses God's past election of Israel. In Romans 10, he deals with Israel's current state of rejection due to their unbelief towards Yeshua. And Romans 11 deals with their future reclamation and redemption by God. So read it and quit trying to eisegete those passages to support the insidious doctrine of replacement theology. And if I'll never forget a dear brother of mine, he's a pastor of a Reformed church, Pastor Jeff Rose, and he does not believe in replacement theology. He had me come and speak to his church a couple times. I was supposed to do it in December, but I burned my hand severely that I couldn't go. But one of his elders, God rest his soul, Jeremy, he said something to me that completely escaped an obvious truth. He came up to me at the end of the service when I was blasting replacement theology. He goes, you know, there's one verse in Romans chapter 1 that completely repudiates replacement theology. And I'm like, I'm curious. I should have seen this before, but I never did. And Jeremy said, Romans 1:16. If God has replaced Israel and the Jew is no longer at the forefront of God's mind, then why would he tell the church to preach the gospel to them? There is no expert, as I'm fond of saying, there is no expiration date on Romans 1:16. The gospel is still to go to the Jew first. And you and I must do that. I realize everybody can't go to Israel and witness to the Jewish people, but you can go through us by supporting us. Amen. And you do. Some of you do. Amen. So now we're at a crossroads. Israel is facing one of the worst existential threats to them as a people and nation. Although I say existential threat, they will not be removed from the land. Amos 9, 14 and 15 says that when God brings Israel back into their land, they will never be uprooted or removed again. That's talking about our day. Ezekiel 37 tells us that God will partially regather Israel Yakarit Hayamim at the end of days in unbelief. And then when they're back in the land, he will sprinkle clean water on them and give them a new heart and mind. That's New Covenant language. So they're in the land partially now, folks, in unbelief. And the next big event will be the tribulation and the return of Christ. I saw this Reformed pastor the other day on YouTube saying, the Great Tribulation has already occurred in the past. He's a preterist, meaning they believe most of the prophecies in Revelation and Matthew 24 were fulfilled in 70 AD. Well, I hate to break the news to you, friend. The Great Tribulation has not occurred, nowhere even near close. Revelation 6 tells us that under one of the seals, one-fourth of mankind will perish. Has that happened in the past at one time? Nope. So that alone strikes against this ridiculous claim that, oh, we've already lived in the tribulation period. No, we have not. And the Great Tribulation is yet before us. That will be under the fourth seal, by the way. You'll have widespread death on earth. And these seals are successive, and they occur one after another. There's no big, you know, decades, centuries before each seal. That's another false teaching, preterism, the belief that the book of Revelation's already been fulfilled for the most part. It's just simply not true. If the Great Tribulation were fulfilled in 70 AD, then the Bible is guilty of the worst, most gross exaggerations on planet Earth. You're going to tell me that the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, as bad as it was, is rivals the Holocaust? Are you really going to sit there and seriously tell me that and say, that's the tribulation period? What do you do with the abomination of desolation? When the Antichrist, at the midpoint of the seven-year tribulation, goes into the temple, rebuilt in Jerusalem, the third temple, and proclaims himself God. The Roman general Titus never did that in 70 AD when he destroyed Jerusalem. In fact, he commanded his soldiers not to destroy the Holy of Holies. And because the Holy of Holies in the Second Temple, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, was overlaid with gold, guess what the soldiers did? And you can see these big Herodian stones today at the southern end of the temple wall where the Romans, guess what the Roman soldiers did? They dismantled stone upon stone the Holy of Holies to get at the gold. Disobeying Titus's command. And it fulfilled the prophecy Jesus made 40 years earlier that not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. That's another politically incorrect thing to say that the Roman destruction and the second dispersion of Israel was a direct result of their unbelief toward the Messiah. That's what Jesus said. And we still see mute testimony of that prophecy fulfilled today at the southern end of the Western Wall. So God is in control. He is on the throne, and he will defend his people, Israel. The fact that nearly 1,000 missiles have been fired from the air from the evil mullah of Iran, and there was no death or harm, is not only attributed to the excellent technology of the shield defense system of Israel, but it's also testimony of God's supernatural protection of them. Amen. Well, folks, another crossroads that we're facing here in this country is the upcoming election on November 5th. And this election is extremely important. And I think it's safe to say that it is literally the powers of light versus the powers of darkness. Freedoms have slowly evaporated in this country. And I'm a witness of that, violating the spirit of the First Amendment. And Facebook is arbitrarily free to censor speech that they find politically incorrect and against wokeism. But the First Amendment was drafted by the writers of the Constitution to protect especially what is deemed offensive speech. And now if you just preach the Word of God and come out against sins that are now celebrated, you are offensive, you're a hater, and you need to be shut down. And don't be surprised, because the early Christians who died in the arena and were set on fire by the megalomaniacal and insane Nero, the Roman emperor, they were also accused of being haters of mankind. See, Satan doesn't do anything new. It's like what Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And now Bible-believing Christians who stand their ground biblically and condemn sexual immorality, because the Scripture condemns it, they are also called haters now. See the pattern here? So just as the early Christian church were accused of being hateful and enemies of mankind, they even accused them of being atheists because they believed only one God, the same worn-out false accusation is leveled against yours truly and some of you for being haters. We're right. We are haters. We do hate sin, because sin destroys the dignity and soul of every human being. And it is out of love that we warn sinners who take pride in their sin that they need to repent, that God's will for them is to be saved and to enjoy a glorious eternity with Him. Does that sound like hate to you? Sin is a insidious terminal disease. And if you don't cease from it and turn from it to the only cure in Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. And those who take pride in their sins and don't repent will be destroyed. That's what the Word of God says. And I say this out of love for the unsaved. And if you're going to censor me for that, that's on you. You'll be, you're the ones that are prohibiting and barring the truth from being spoke, because you hate God. You hate His Word. So you're the one that's a hater, not me. Isn't it interesting how the tyrannical left always projects on conservative moral folk their very thing they're guilty of? And the Democrat side is running just quite frankly an evil, wicked Jezebel. I might even put her up there with wicked King Athaliah. If you know about her in the Old Testament, she carried out a systematic extermination campaign in Israel to destroy all the royal line of David. And she came close. I believe it was Josiah they hid in the temple, but one of the kings of Israel at 7 years of age. Some of you, if I don't have that proper king's name right, you can correct me on the online there. But they hid him out in the temple. And she was killed, and he was to reign as king and then produce offspring from the lineage of David. Now, why was she doing that? Because Satan had got it into her head to destroy every rival so she could reign as king. Had she succeeded in her evil and satanic scheme, guess what? You've got no Messiah coming. Because it was prophesied through the Davidic covenant that the Messiah would come through King David. Now, why am I saying Scamala is like Athaliah? Because she has an inveterate desire to see unborn children killed in the name of reproductive freedom. Because it's their own bodies. No, it's a body within a body. Basic biology tells you that, you witch. So the killing of the unborn alone will set the judgment of God. It's already over this nation. So don't think that if you elect Donald Trump, which you should, that that's going to make everything right. It's not. It will perhaps permanently stay God's judgment that's already over the land. I did a two-part teaching on six reasons why God abandons a nation from Romans 1, 18 through 32. And I applied it to America. And that's what we're going on here. We're seeing Romans chapter 1 being played out in the godless states of America. And I've been accused, like Jeremiah, not that I'm like Jeremiah, being a traitor because I speak out against the sins of America. Guilty as charged. Not being a traitor, but preaching against the sins of America. Because I love this country too much is to sit back and watch this iniquity unfold. And what does it say about a nation that half of them will elect an apostate, a promoter of death and sexual perversion? What does that say to you? That's not a good sign, folks. And if this election should be bought, or it should be, it should result in fraud and cheating, then this is another clear signal of the further progression of God's judgment on this nation. And the only answer is not in one man, not in a politician. The answer, quite frankly, is the same answer that spared Nineveh, Jonah's preaching. That is repentance and belief in the gospel. But there is a redeemed remnant in this nation, and God factors that in when he pours out his judgment on the nation. But when you get up there in a debate and make a woman who wants an abortion the hero, that's sick. It's perverted. Doesn't mean we don't have compassion on women who've made that choice in the past. I know some Christian women who are not saved, and they did that. And they regretted it when they did it afterwards, and they regret it today, even though God has forgiven them. So don't. I have been up close and personal and seen what abortion does to women. One time I was at Medical City as a chaplain, and it's not my notes, and a woman had an abortion that I was friends with there. And she was an evangelical Christian. She left her husband and got pregnant, and her evil coworker took her to the abortion clinic. And she committed murder. So later that afternoon, that evil coworker came over and said, "Oh, you need to talk to her. She's now at Green Oaks Psychiatric Hospital next door." "Well, what happened?" "Well, I drove her to have an abortion." I just shook my head. I didn't even say anything to her. So I went over to Green Oaks, and I kid you not, folks, and this could also get me censored for who knows how long on Facebook, but I don't care. She was in there wringing her hands saying, "I've killed my child. I killed my child." It was the most pathetic and terrible sight I've ever seen. So don't sit there and tell me that you can kill an unborn child and then excuse it. You know, "Well, what about incest, rape, or murder?" Well, you know, you're still killing an innocent victim. I'm sorry. It still doesn't justify it. And the Republican Party, I hate to tell y'all because I'm criticizing both tonight, they have scaled back on their view on abortion. Have you noticed that? "Well, we'll allow it up to 8 weeks because we don't want to lose the women's vote." Poppycock. Murder is still murder, whether it's 6 weeks or 8 weeks. But this lady that I knew and ministered to, I shared with her the forgiveness of God for that sin. Didn't see her for months. She left the hospital, and I got a call from her 2 years later. And she said, "Todd, this is so-and-so. You remember me?" I said, "Oh, yeah. How are you doing?" I said, I'm doing great. I went back to my husband, and I now have a 2-year-old son. And I wanted to thank you for reaching me with forgiveness of the Lord for that thing I did, because I would have killed myself to make atonement for the life I took. So don't sit there and tell me that abortion is not sinful and harmful to the woman who does it. And the church needs to do a better job of reaching out to these women and save lives. So folks, I say all that to say this, that you need to look at these two candidates and do a biblical comparison. Which candidate best supports, reflects, and will implement a Judeo-Christian ethic in their platform? Well, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, I shouldn't have to tell you which one. And that's the one you need to vote for. Because if the wrong person gets into power, it will be a disaster for your religious freedom. They will force Catholic hospitals and other Christian healthcare centers, they will try to force them to commit abortions and transgender surgeries. They will force them to do that. And of course, they won't, because they're not going to go against the word of God or their religious conscience. So I'm just saying, get ready. You know, I thought I was a small-time operation that, you know, but apparently the censors are watching and targeting people like me. And if we don't regain constitutional control of the federal government, the persecution is only going to increase. They will target ministries and churches that preach against the sinful lifestyle agenda that the left has promoted, promulgated, and advanced. So we're going to find out on November 5th where this nation is. And we'll see. Don't go by what the polls are telling you. Don't fall for that trick again like you did in 2022 when there was supposed to be a red wave and it was nothing, hardly even a pink splash. Don't do that. Get out there and vote for the candidate who will uphold righteousness, morality, and with that, defend freedom of religion for the church and Christians. And you know who that is. Well, folks, we're glad that you could be with us tonight. And I will remind you that on Monday, we will be headed back to Israel for a 2-week outreach, our 56th gospel outreach. And we've been doing this for the last 20 years. I need your help. I don't need smiley faces and thumbs up. That doesn't help the cause of this ministry. We need financial support. And those of you who benefit from this ministry, and I'm not trying to beat you over the head with guilt, but I'm just going to give you the scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:14 clearly says that they that live of the gospel should be supported by the gospel. So you have an obligation to support this ministry. If you can only give $5, fine. At least you're supporting us. So we do need your help, and you wouldn't work for free. If your employer said, I'm not going to pay you anymore, you're going to work for free, you would be appalled. So why would you expect that then of God's servants? If you do, you're employing a double standard and you're being a hypocrite. So I'm just saying, you know, so we need your help. We need your financial help, and we appreciate those of you who do support us faithfully every week, every month, quarterly as well. And we will be giving you updates in Israel. I'm still allowed to post on Facebook. So like we do each day, we'll say day one, day two, day three, etc. And we'll give you a synopsis of that day's ministry. And hopefully we can get good photo documentation of the people we talk to. Now, why do I do that? Not so you can say, look at me, because there are evil people out there within the church who have accused us of just sitting back and making up stories. Well, no, we have the documentation right here. It's sad that you have to do that. But it's not only that. Positively, we do it so that people can see that this ministry is on the front lines. We're active and we're fruitful. This is not patty cake Christianity here. This is not playing church. You tell me anybody else is willing to go there at great risk to their life to share the gospel. And we're only doing that by the grace of God. We're men as you. There is fear, there is concern, but you cannot be ruled by fear. You have to walk by faith. And that's what we say to the Israelis when some of them are shocked that people like us would risk coming over there. And our answer back to them, and I'll end it with this, is this: there is no fear where the God of Israel is near. So folks, thank you again for your service. We will be back the week of November 10th, that week. And we will do a 2-part presentation of the 56th gospel outreach to Israel. Amen. So we look forward to being back with you then. And in the meantime, look for our daily reports on Facebook from Israel. Until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.